League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Do you eat, sleep, and breathe golf? Do you love to explore? And most importantly, do you just want to have some fun? Well, then welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren. Now here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence, and the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
Hello and welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Thanks for finding us wherever you listen to your podcasts. iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, as always, on the Golf News Net platform at golfnewsnet.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence in Myrtle Beach. He is indeed Darren Bunch in Bakersfield, California, home to Rio Bravo Country Club. Plug. You can find us on the social media. Darren at Getaways Golf on Twitter, at Golf Getaways on Instagram, me at Mitch Lawrence, literally everywhere. Darren, we had the opportunity to do a show with Christian Hafer, golf photographer, and just absolutely wonderful human. I don't know how else to describe him. I loved our podcast earlier with him, and now we get a chance to do an Emergency 9, and I can't wait for this.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun, and I'm sure we're going to get into a wide range of topics, because usually the Emergency 9 takes us on all kinds of crazy tangents that we don't expect.
Christian, are you ready for tangents?
I am the tangent king.
Ah, the tangent king. This could be a whole new level, Darren. All right, before we bow down in front of the tangent king, a quick mention of our great sponsor, 2under.com. The number 2UNDR.com, great performance underwear. Fantastic Joey pouch, asset management. We'll give you all the terms. You know them by now. Great loungewear. A lot of people don't think of 2under as loungewear makers, but both Darren and I can attest, great stuff, ridiculously comfortable. You can use the promo code GNN20 for 20% off your next purchase. Holiday time, get to it. I don't need to say more. All right, as I said, we had Christian Hafer on with us earlier. Great, great golf photographer, a videographer as well, but golf photography is what grabbed me on Instagram when I first saw it. Darren and I, both huge fans of his. You can be too. If you go to Instagram at Hafe Life, @HAFE_life, and at Hafe Shoots for his non-golf photography, which is also fantastic. He has a tremendous website, ChristianHafer.com. There's pictures, great blogs, writing, a lot more, and we heartily suggest that you go do that. Christian, we thanked you once already for being on the podcast earlier, and we are grateful to you for being willing to join us on what I think will be a test unlike any other that you've ever taken. Welcome to the Emergency 9.
Oh, boy. I don't do well with that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Our goal is to just get you a little nervous at the beginning, because once you get into it, we're gonna just keep rolling. All right, here's your first question. It's a pretty easy one, because it's one that most people want to know when they find out we're in golf and journalism. Your favorite course and or destination anywhere in the world?
Course-wise, Old Course and Cyprus are tied. They're neck and neck. Destination, Scotland's really good. Ireland's really good. But there's Iceland's really good as well. I'm hoping to take my kids and my wife there next year. Hopefully.
Iceland.
There's something about being remote. And
wow. Darren, how many Emergency Nines have we done?
Yeah. Nobody said Iceland yet. That's pretty impressive. Are you going to play golf while you're there, or just go see the lights? What?
All I need is a field and a ball and I'll play golf. I don't even necessarily need a golf course.
Have you played before in Iceland?
I haven't. I know Eric did, Eric Anders Lang. So he kind of piqued my interest with playing golf at 2:30 in the morning, because, you know, half the time I don't sleep. So it would be an interesting thing to just go play golf by myself at 2:30 in the morning on an island in the middle of nowhere. So I'm intrigued.
Wow. That is, yeah, that's outstanding. I would be one of those people too. I'm never asleep at that time of night. So, I've always had that dream of playing golf all night somewhere and almost pulled it off in Alaska, last year, but not quite. Okay. So that's kind of a bucket lister and a destination for you. So, what course or destination is at the top of your bucket list? Give me some, give us something else that you, haven't been to that you really want to play.
So I haven't been, I've never played a Rainer McDonald course. So, you know, Nationals up there, Chicago Golf Club's up there, highly unrealistic. So, you know, bucket list, you got to put it at the top just to see, that kind of architecture, and how it stood up over the test of time, because I've been able to see a lot of other kind of cool things, or, you know, maybe go into Australia and New Zealand and playing some golf down there. I think that would be amazing.
I would guess those two courses you mentioned, with your connections, if you worked really hard at it, you'd probably find a way to get on to, one or both of them.
Listen, anybody out there, give me a DM. I'm ready to travel.
And if that connection is made, then Darren, I think, well, I don't want to say it.
Listen, friends always are welcome to dialogue.
We have a good friend who played the National for the first time through a friend of Mitch's, actually, this year. And so, you know, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, it's one of those places. I know a few people have played it, and they always want to compare notes with some of the other courses that, you know, we've played and all those kinds of things, because it's a very different take on golf, and visually it looks obviously very interesting. So we'll see.
Well, I know you and Darren have both played Cypress, so that, I guess, is off your bucket list. It still stays on mine.
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that one though, because Darren just rubs my face in it all the time. No good.
Yeah, Cypress for me, a funny story about Cypress is actually our daughter Drew, and her middle name is named after Marianne Holland.
Uh-huh.
Who was a girl in Cyprus, and I was reading her biography, trying to pick a name for my daughter, and I got a text message, and that text message essentially was, "Can you come play Cyprus?" And so I'm reading about this woman, and I get the invite, and I look at my wife, and I'm like, I know what her middle name is. So that's how we came up with her middle name.
Now, did Lindsay look at you like you were nuts, or this is the coolest thing ever?
She's extremely supportive, and I think she understands, you know, one, how deep I am into this, but we, you know, our family names are not great names that you want to name anybody. So we were looking for something different. Marianne Hollins is such an interesting human being, and all she did for golf and all kinds of other things. And it was a really cool connection to what both my wife and I are passionate about, and, you know, kind of things that we would hope that our daughter would reflect as she grows older. And, you know, the woman raced cars, created a woman's only golf club, was integral in Cyprus and Paso Tiempo, and, you know, got Mackenzie the job at Augusta and all these other things. And it's like, what a good role model. And it's a different name. It's a unique name that we both like. So I only had to sell her for a little bit.
Well, it says a lot about you. It says a lot about Lindsay also. And it will say a lot about June. She's got that behind her. So she's already, if anybody's seen her pictures on your Instagram post, they're already in love with her. I know I am. So,
oh yeah,
she's got that going for her. What a cool thing. That is a great, great story. All right. Your third question, the best place, and obviously you've traveled a lot, you've lived a lot of places. What's the best place you've ever stayed?
Usually when I travel, it's pretty hand to mouth. So I'm usually on the road, and I'm not staying in anywhere too fancy because I'm not there too long, or, you know, I'm working. So most of that is not as glamorous as one would think, but I have had fortunately a few nice places. I would say probably my favorite place to stay is in the mountains in Colorado. It's one of those places that if I could go back to living in Vail, you know, years and years ago, and waking up to fresh snow, it's one of the best places there is in the world.
That's definitely, it doesn't matter really where you stay as long as you're up there, right?
Yeah. I mean, now granted, I'd probably be sleeping in a van, or a car or something, waking up by opening the door, but it would still be very nice.
I got to stay in the Vail Hotel, I think it was, right there at the bottom of the mountain once upon a time on a trip many, many years ago, and I can certainly see the appeal. Colorado is one of those places Mitch and I talk about we got to get back to. All right, let's move on then. What's the single best thing you've ever eaten on a trip, and where was it?
This is difficult because, so I'm now vegetarian. since my daughter was born, I am now vegetarian. So I've been vegetarian. I was vegetarian. I shifted to pescatarian around Scotland because fish and chips, and I can't pass that up. So I think we were at this place, the Ship's End in Ely. Is that how you pronounce it? Or am I getting roasted for that? Ely. Okay.
Ely. That's close enough.
So we stopped there on our way to kind of looping back around to St. Andrews, and we played King's Barn, so we needed something to eat. We stopped at this little place, and it's right on the water. The storm was rolling in. The fish and chip was as big as my torso, and it was so good. And it's one of those things that I shouldn't ever eat, but I always will eat.
That's outstanding. Did you play Ely on that trip?
We didn't. We had such a tight schedule, and we were cramming as much as we could, but I have since mapped out every single golf course in Scotland that I can find. I'm upwards of 500, and I have grand ambitions, I will tell you that much. And that's one of those ones I'd like to go play, and Crail as well is right there. And that's one of the ones that I wish I can get to hopefully very soon.
You haven't been to the Highlands yet, right?
Yeah, I stopped essentially at Carnoustie. I took the train back to Glasgow from Carnoustie, and so they kept going up on our trip. Those guys kept going up on the trip. But I, you know, my new baby at home and a very patient wife, I decided I would, instead of 18 days, I would go 9.
You don't have to explain that part of it. Both of us get that. It's just our great hope that you get to go back and experience the Highlands too.
I'm trying to sell her on that now. So,
and if you're going back, I mean, talking about Ely, Mitch and I are going to be doing a series of podcasts based on my travels, and I was transfixed by Ely. There are no par fives on the golf course. It's all par threes and par fours, and a couple of really cool blind drivable par fours. And it's just it's a beautiful stretch of coastline, and I don't ever hear people talk about it enough. And I'm, you know, it's one of my favorite places I've played in all of Scotland. I absolutely had a blast out there.
There's so many. I mean, one thing I took away from Scotland, I love blind tee shots, blind shots. Absolutely love them. If I get to a hole and I see a post in the middle of a hill, I know I'm going to like that golf hole. And two, how many really good small courses there are that nobody, quote unquote, knows about, but nobody goes and sees. You know, Leven Links and London Links, and you know, places like those are just. I would fly over there just to play those.
We're all like that. I think we all have the same mind. All right, next question. And we were talking about golf and people, and obviously Scotland falls into that great grouping of things. But other than golf and people, is there one thing that's most important to you on a golf trip? And does it have to do with photography?
I was going to say, I think it has to, we have to stipulate that it shouldn't have to do with photography.
Okay.
Make them think outside the box a little.
Well, yeah, I've been fortunate that I can think of a few things, but I mean, obviously the golf, the people are really important. And I can't really put a word on it. It's this tangible, that kind of the chemistry, I guess, of the group that's there. And I've been fortunate to go on a few trips and with people that look at the game very differently. And the ones where we end up somehow on the back nine, or maybe it's the last three holes, end up in a group of 8, 10, you know, maybe more, and playing golf together and doing that kind of thing. That's where I have the most fun, instead of going to some of the things that I have to go to where, you know, everybody stays in their foursome, and at the end of the round, you're comparing scores of what you get on this hole. And there's odd times where we end up getting a big group together, and you know, it's not necessarily the quality of the shots that matter. It's more the quality of the experience and really being in the moment and just enjoying, you know, kind of how lucky we are to go to some of these places and play golf and do it with our best friends. It's that to me is a really important thing.
Darren, before we move on, I just want to get to this since Christian brought it up. On your website, christianhafer.com, in case you didn't know, that's your website. you had a blog about the Dell. This illustrates what you're talking about. And I thought this was the coolest. Now, I know if you look at your Instagram, your posts or Eric Lang's posts or a lot of times Akbar's posts, Akbar Chisti of Seamus Golf, the posts about multiple people, you know, more people than just a foursome playing are the ones that strike me. I don't get to do it often enough. But the one about the blog you wrote about the Dell, which is in Pennsylvania, it's, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, Conocadel Golf Club?
Yeah, you're probably as closer than I am to it.
Okay, Conocadel Golf Club, Conocodell. It's a nine-holer that you took pictures of and wrote about. This is what you said, which jumped out at me off your blog. 8 adults playing in their big sandbox with their toys, making it up as they went. And I thought that line was such a perfect way to put it. And I get exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, for the other analogy I use a lot of times, and oddly enough, we talked about Strands earlier, but he courses that allow you to be creative, and it might be the course or it just might be the environment of a blank canvas. And that's what the Dell was for us. It, the Sugarloaf Social guys throughout their bat signal and, you know, said, we're going to go play golf here. Whoever wants to come, come. And so, you know, we ended up with 8 people and we met the owner, who's a great guy. And we were talking about golf in Ireland and Scotland and the US and comparing stories. And then we're out there playing golf and we're like, wouldn't it be really cool if you could do this or put a bunker here or maybe, you know, move this over here. And, you know, what about an alternate routing? And it, you can start seeing that creativity that, for me, as a photographer, I try and chase that as much as I can and everything. But a lot of these guys that don't necessarily have a creative outlet, you can see that spark going for them. And anytime you can go to a golf course and you get that spark, and a lot of people think you have to go to Cyprus or, you know, the old course or wherever to get that creative spark. I'm telling you, man, I've been on some great Muni $16 for 18. That just inspired me. We're like, this is what golf's about. I'm playing 8. We have music. We're having a good time talking about golf, talking about history, talking about architecture, talking about all these different things. That to me is more what golf is about than anything else. Highly recommend the Dell.
That's outstanding. What's the one piece of golf apparel or equipment you can't live without?
I always carry it's like a dry bag, you know, when you go camping or rafting to throw your stuff in, just because you never know when a storm's going to come up, and I carry a pretty minimalist bag, so I don't have a lot of stuff in it. And one of the things I always typically have with me is either a film camera or a digital camera. So if a storm's rolling and I throw it in that thing and my stress levels dissipate quickly.
I like that.
I like it. See, this is what happens when you're, you know, we have cell phones, Darren. But Christian actually is a photographer, so he needs a dry bag. I'm with him.
Yeah, oh yeah. I got to have it.
All right, let's learn a little bit about your game. Do you have a handicap? Do you care about a handicap?
I did. I don't care about a handicap. I actually went about 6 months. I didn't keep score. See what happened. And what I noticed was a really interesting thing. And then I got too kind of laissez-faire with golf. And so I kind of noticed I hit that line where I'm like, okay, but maybe I want to keep score a little bit because I was getting too competitive and was too worried about my handicap. And I wasn't having fun with golf. And as I've tried to get more creative with my golf, you know, playing a half set or playing the auto correct putter and doing things like that, I just kind of stopped worrying so much about playing from the tips, and I'll move up boxes. I'll play off the front tees if I think the hole is going to be more fun to do it that way. But I have a terrible swing. It's one of the ugliest swings you'll ever see. but it somehow gets the ball down there relatively well in comparison. And I haven't been kicked off of a golf course yet for my swing. So I think that I'm doing all right.
I think that's a good way of looking at it. I haven't been kicked off yet, so it can't be that bad.
I've been kicked off for other reasons, but not for
as you should have been.
Christian, who is the most interesting person you've ever golfed with?
Man, I've golfed with a few ones. I mean, Eric obviously is one of the most interesting human beings that I know. He's one of my favorite people. He's really interesting. You've mentioned him. Akbar's an interesting guy, but I've played golf with a lot of people that, you know, nobody would know just showing up as a single to a course or walking around. And I was fortunate enough to, when we were in the old course, I got just by chance got paired up with, you know, a guy who he and his family, they live there in the summer and he plays there all the time. And he's been doing it forever. His name's Ron and he's a member of the St. Andrews Golf Club and didn't know any of this, just, you know, snuck in a tee time. Ended up getting in his group because somebody didn't show up. And we're getting out there a few holes and we start talking more and more about golf. And we start talking more about architecture and history. And, you know, he starts seeing that I kind of know what I'm talking about. Not probably as well as he does, but I know enough to hang. We're having a great conversation. We're having a great round. He sees the joy in our group of being there and how important it is to us. And, you know, he let us kind of play our game and he didn't rush us and, you know, he didn't stress anything. And he just genuinely was one of those people that he's uprooted his life for however many years to be in St. Andrews because of how important the game is, how important that place is to him. And I thought that to me was one life goals to be able to do that. But how intriguing it is that there's somebody that's that passionate about this game that goes to that extent. And I can't even imagine how many rounds he's played around that course, but he knew it all. And he also got into a Twitter beef with Jeff Shackelford, which I did not see coming. So very well-rounded human being. So I really enjoyed it.
Okay. And now I'm going to go scour your Twitter account to figure out who this is. But, it's amazing what golf does. I was thinking about this the other day, the range of people, and I show up a lot. I play a lot of golf by myself and end up, you know, just hooking up with whoever I get paired with. Just in the past year, I mean, Mitch and I got paired up with, with a former exotic dancer from Las Vegas on one round. And then I was at Sand Valley and played a round of golf with a millionaire software developer. So it's like the range of people that we find and all interesting, regardless of your station in life, is just, you know, one of the amazing things about the game.
Yep, I agree. I mean, I think that's probably the most interesting thing for me about golf is how many different people play the game. And I think for me as a photographer, that's what I'm drawn to, is showing that and showing that there's a broader spectrum than what non-golfers think.
It's a great goal. I see I can picture a book. I can see a book.
A book of what?
Just a book of just people of golf.
Oh,
nothing else. Nothing else, just people of golf. And it would, if you just called it that, people would have an idea of what they think that's going to be, and it would probably blow them away when they see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm working on a few long-term projects now that are, one's all film, and it's a certain subset of golfer, and it's just a portrait series, but that's a great idea. It's just, you know, showing, like you guys said, we've seen some very, very unique faces on the golf course, some that probably shouldn't have been there. and then some that, you know, are your stereotypical golfer, but they always have these underlying stories that I don't think really come to the surface too often, but I somehow have a knack for finding out these quirky details about the people I golf with.
All right. I'm looking forward to it already. All right. We're at your ninth question, incredibly. The one golf course you wish everyone knew about.
You know, the Dell, obviously, just because I think it represents a lot of what golf should be about, which is It's affordable. It's accessible. You can have a good time. It's nine holes, so it's not going to take you all day long. And it's all the things that I think are right in golf, and I hope golf trends more towards. But places like Winter Park, their nine-hole course, amazing. There's Schoolhouse Nine that I haven't even gotten to yet, and it's one of the things that I really want to get to in 2019. But I think people hopefully search out more of those nine-hole courses or public courses and some of those places that don't necessarily carry that top 100 banner, but are really great golf courses and can just be a really good outlet to go have fun.
It's funny you mentioned Schoolhouse Nine. I was going through, I have a sickness on my iPhone in that I just keep Safari tabs open of all kinds of things. So I have I looked last night, I had 110 tabs open on my phone. And as I was going through to clear a bunch of them, Schoolhouse Nine was one of them. Somebody had mentioned it, and I was like, I've got to leave this as an open tab so I remember that next time I have the chance to be in that part of the country, I can go check this place out because it looks really, really cool.
Didn't you have pictures up on your Instagram side of Schoolhouse Nine or stories? Because I saw Schoolhouse Nine also, and I'm wondering who it was.
I haven't. It probably was Sugarloaf Social Club.
Yeah. It could have been Ian Gilley. That's probably
yeah.
who it was. Okay.
Yeah, it was Ian, and because they're good buddies are running that there. But it's one of those, for me, it's one of those places that it kind of is what I wish more people would do, go build their own course and just, you know, throw the prim and proper out the door and just build a course that's fun, short, fun, and quirky. You know, it doesn't need to have any par fives. It can be all par fours and par threes, and it can be extremely short. Doesn't mean it's bad golf. It's just different.
Exactly. I think we're all in agreement on that. Just more fun golf. Okay, we've got some bonus questions we've been toying with. One of them has kind of made it in the rotation here as the bonus question, but then we have a couple others. Tell us your best golf course story. What's the weirdest, coolest, craziest thing you've either seen or you've done on a golf course?
Well, there's some that I, for legal reasons, cannot talk about. I will say, man, it's tough because I've had so many amazing experiences. A lot of my life obviously takes part on golf courses, and I've spent a lot of time there. So I've had a lot of really good experiences. I think one that I'll always remember is, and this is going to rate me as the highest level of golf nerd that there possibly is, but I actually proposed to my wife at Cabot on the 18th green, and we had it all planned out. We were supposed to be there much earlier, and I had this whole thing, but flights got delayed, and so I'm racing trying to get there, and she's kind of like, are you okay? You know, why are you so stressed out? And I'm racing to get there before the sun sets, so I at least can do it on the 18th green and do it maybe as a sun setting and kind of save the day. So that for me, that experience of she and I went there, we got there, she got out of the car. I said, why don't you go check in and, you know, I'm going to go see if there's a place for us to take a photo. And she instantly looked at me like I was crazy because there's one thing I hate. It's my photo being taken. I prefer to take the photo. So I think she knew something was up. And then we had, you know, I think he was the caddy master, take us around. And he was like, here, I'll take a photo here. Well, I didn't realize that it was in front of the Panorama restaurant. And it was, you know, that. So everybody was out there and everybody was in the restaurant. And so I proposed, and you could hear people banging on the glass and cheering and the whole thing. And then we went on and had, 3 days of really good golf there. We drove around and just had a great experience. And it was really cool that golf was a part of that because golf is a big part of our lives. So that's obviously something I'll never forget.
That's such a great story. I love the Panorama. Mitch and I have a lot of memories there. Not a lot of people cheering when I played it this summer, when I hooked one and banged the window and almost made four people jump out of their seats while they were having dinner, though.
Oh boy. Did you have to pick up their tabs?
I did not, but it was one of those things where they were like so embarrassed for me. The ball actually ended up on one of those mounds up there because they were on the upper level. I banged it right up by the upper level. So I had to climb up the mound to hit this chip shot. And I'm just playing by myself. I go up there, I hit this chip shot, and I kind of look in at them, you know, to say I'm sorry. And like none of them would even look at me. It was one of those kind of awkward, funny experiences that I wish I had a video camera rolling. It would have been a lot of fun.
That was one of those where they were thinking, "We're sorry you're so bad."
Exactly.
We're really sorry you're that bad.
They're like, they will let anybody play this golf course, even this guy with hickory sticks, you know, banging it off the side of the restaurant.
No, they probably looked at your clubs and they were like, "Oh, the poor guy can't even get new clubs."
That's right. He can't even afford sticks.
He's so broke. Well, it's a great way to end the emergency nine, because that spot for Darren and I is heaven. And obviously it's a place you and Lindsay will remember forever too. And man, what a great story. And next time we're there, maybe it'll be with you and Lindsay. That would be great.
I love it up there. I'm trying to make the turn.
Maybe your anniversary will all, because I know we'll that's what go. You'd want, is for me and Darren to be with that. You and Lindsay on your anniversary.
get a quick selfie with you guys, photobombing in the back.
Then she'll really think you're nuts.
She'll love it then.
All right. Well, thanks again, Kristen. Thanks for the information. This has been great. We've learned so much about you in this episode and the earlier one you did. Hopefully there's a lot more golf traveling to come, so we'll be hoping that you'll join us again after this experience to talk more about that.
Great. Yeah, no, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Hey, Kristen, where is next for you? Do you have something, trips planned, lined up already for 2019?
Yeah, I've got a few things, some I can't quite reveal yet, but I have a few cool little projects in the works. I'll be heading down hopefully to Streamsong next week, and then out to California in January, and then Texas, and then there potentially could be two or three very, very big, unique, different kind of golf adventures that I'm going to get into next year. So trying to get all the logistics done for there, and then maybe we'll come back on after I finish and we'll recap it next year.
It sounds like it's going to take a year for you to finish all of it, so that's good.
Yeah, I have a tendency to do too many things.
Nah, you're doing the perfect amount of things. All right, happy trails, safe travels, best of holiday wishes to you and Lindsay and Austin and June and Chief and all the great members of your family. Again, you can find Kristen Instagram at HafeLife, HAFE_life, Hafe Shoots for his non-golf stuff, or ChristianHafer.com, his website has a lot of great stuff on it too. It's been a treat. It's really been a treat, man.
Yeah, thank you guys so much.
Have a great holiday. Darren, I will obviously be talking to you soon.
You definitely will. And as always, we need to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Follow us on the social medias. Rate us on iTunes. Help us spread the word about the best in golf travel.
All right. Kristen has lived a life full of dreams, and so many of them have come true. We hope yours do, too. Go run them down. So long.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep their trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.